Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, May the 14th. And welcome to our commentary. You know, I don't even know what's going on in that trial in New York. I guess Michael Cohen is back for the second day. He said a lot of things day one. I have no idea what he's saying today. That whole thing is such a travesty. If we had a judge with any dignity or self-respect, he would stop this thing and say, mistrial, everybody go home, jury go home, and let's move on. But, you know, you have a judge. I just saw something today that the judge's daughter, I had heard this before, but I heard it today, that the judge's daughter is basically fundraising for Democrats off of this trial. Now, some of you are going to say, well, that she's an adult. She is, can do her own business. Okay, that's fair enough. But you would think the judge would call his daughter and say, hey, can you just kind of, you know, hold it down a little bit, because I'm doing a trial and I don't want to have any perceptions of being impartial. I mean, or partial. You know, this is such a travesty. What I'm betting on right now is that there's at least one or two members of that jury who are seeing this for what it is, and they will somehow not vote to convict Donald Trump. And this thing can end with Donald Trump walking out of there with a no conviction. That would really be a slap in the face, wouldn't it, to the judge and to the district attorney. I'm not betting on that, because I think this whole thing has been so designed to get Trump. But it's not helping the Democrats, if that's the objective. If that was the objective, it's not helping them. On the contrary, I think it's helping Trump. Not just in the polling data, but just, I think, as a matter of perception. There's something about this trial that just doesn't smell right. And I think a lot more Americans are catching up with this. One big story today is that President Biden announced some tariffs on Chinese electric cars. I don't know how big that is. I mean, I don't have a problem with that tariff to help American industry. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think the tariff is going to have much of an impact on electric cars, because the problem with electric cars is that they're not selling. And they're not selling because they're too expensive or because they're not practical. You know, a lot of people, at least in this part of the country where you travel some pretty long distances, you know, having an electric car is not the most practical thing in the world. If you were just kind of like driving around your hometown or neighborhood or whatever, that might be a better idea. But the real problem with electric cars in the United States is that so far, the American people have not bought into the idea of an electric car. Part of it is that the range is not long enough. And the other thing, of course, the electric cars are expensive. And I think that's the problem. Until they deal with that, it doesn't matter where you put a tariff. I don't see, to my knowledge, a lot of Chinese electric cars driving around. You know, you've got Tesla, of course, and those are made here. I believe most of them are made in the United States. And you do have some American electric cars. Nissan has one. I think Honda has one, I believe. But again, I don't see this as anything too consequential. I think it's just more of a political statement, just kind of reminding everybody in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Michigan that the president is still thinking about them. That's what I think it is. It's just purely politics. But I don't see, frankly, much of an impact on our economy, nor do I see this changing our politics that much, because I think everybody knows in Michigan and in Ohio and these states that it was these mandates to buy electric cars that have put the industry in this kind of problem. You know, the electric cars are sitting in the car lots. They're not selling. So maybe they should look at that. Maybe they should look at that problem, because that's what the real problem is. Well, I've got a post over at the American Thinker today talking about President Biden and some new polling data that came out that is just absolutely deadly for the president. Not only do they go, you know, they look at the swing states. The only one where he is leading is Wisconsin, and that's by 2 points. But a lot of the others, Donald Trump has a pretty good lead. in most of the so-called swing states, if you were to base yourself on that poll, in other words, if that poll were to translate into what happens on the first Tuesday of November, Trump would win the presidency with about 312 electoral votes. That's roughly what it means. It would be 2016 all over again, pretty much right down the line, 2016 all over again, and he would get back the states that he lost in 2020. I mean, that's pretty much what that poll is saying. You know, whether that's going to hold up until November, I don't know. But I do know this. I don't see anything improving in Joe Biden between now and November. I mean, the inflation figures just came out. They're going up. The economy in general, people are not feeling good about it. Now, it is true that if you look at some of the macroeconomic numbers, that the economy is not doing bad, certainly compared to other countries, that's true. But people just don't feel good. And I think the reason they don't feel good is because of the uncertainty that comes with inflation. Inflation is the worst possible thing that you can have in an economy, because people just don't feel good when everything is going up. And another problem that the president is having is that it's becoming almost impossible to buy a house. I mean, you look around and you see interest rates. A lot of people just simply cannot afford it. And that, of course, is making people unhappy as well. So not a good poll for President Biden, a very good poll for President Trump, who seems to be ahead in most of the major categories, whether it's the economy, foreign policy, the border, immigration. I mean, he seems to be ahead in all of those by good numbers. The only place where he's behind, if you look at all these polls, is abortion. That is the one area where the, you know, President Biden leads over President former President Trump. It's not a big, big lead. It's a lot smaller than you think. The way they present it sometimes in the media, you would think that he's 30 points up on former President Trump when it comes to abortion. It's not as big as you think it is. It's within 10 points. And the problem with the abortion topic is that this is a presidential election. I'm not sure how many people are going to be making a vote based on the candidate's position on abortion. The other thing, too, and this is just practical reality, there's not a heck of a lot that a senator or a congressman or a president can do with respect to abortion. I mean, the only thing that the federal government could do at this stage of the game, after abortion was sent back to the states, the only thing that the Congress or the president or the Senate could do would be to pass an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would have to go to the states and get three quarters approval. Well, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get three quarters of the states to approve an amendment to the U.S. Constitution creating a so-called constitutional right to an abortion. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So if you really want to fight about abortion, or you really want to push abortion, you got to do it at the state level. The other thing that is happening is that most of the states have already settled where they are with respect to abortion. I mean, we did that here in Texas, in California, New York, and Illinois. They basically have their own version of Roe v. Wade, which is the reason why, you know, people keep talking about how the Supreme Court banned abortion. Not really. We've had over a million abortions over the last year. So actually, the numbers of abortions have not changed that much since Roe v. Wade disappeared. And what's happened is these abortions are still taking place in New York and California and New York. I mean, around here, New Mexico is the state that has pretty much open abortion. And many people from Texas go to New Mexico, which is not a very long drive, to get themselves an abortion. I guess the same thing probably happens in Indiana. They go to Illinois or whatever. So the states are fixing the problem. And I don't really see how this is going to be a national issue. I just don't see the connection there. So that's the one area where President Biden is leading, but it's the one area I think that is going to be least significant when people vote in 2024. Speaking of 2024, I have a post coming out tomorrow basically saying that this election is starting to look to me like the 1980 election. In 1980, at this stage of the game, most Americans had decided that they didn't want President Carter back. But what they didn't have at this point in May of 1980 was his replacement. They didn't know who they were going to vote for. You had Ronald Reagan about to be nominated, and there was a campaign. But for much of the campaign, there was a, it was kind of like a contradiction. On one hand, they wanted Carter replaced, but on the other hand, they really didn't know who to replace him with. Well, that changed during the campaign, and especially when they had a debate between President Carter and future President Ronald Reagan. That debate is what settled it. Now, I don't know if the same thing is going to happen this time, but this election is starting to look to me a lot like 1980, when people rejected the incumbent and they wanted a change. That's what this election is starting to look like to me, as I see the polling data and I see the mood of the country. Very similar to 1980, which is, of course, 44 years ago. Some of us remember that. I guess we're a little bit older. Let me remind you that on this day in history, 1998, Frank Sinatra passed away. That's 26 years ago? Hard to believe, you know, that he's been gone for 26 years, because it's not like his music has been gone. I mean, he's as popular as ever. In fact, I think they have a satellite radio station that is nothing but Sinatra. So the great Sinatra passed away on this day in 1998, and I remember hearing about it. I was out to lunch with some colleagues, and we were coming back from the lunch, and somebody was talking about it. I think there was a newspaper, I believe, on the corner saying that Sinatra had passed away. He had been very sick for a while, but that's how I heard about it, walking back to the office on this day in 1998. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.